When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Brooks, toss it. Morant drives. Morant! Oh, it's good! 1 second left. Ja Morant with the bucket. And that's it. A gutty Grizzly win, come from behind at home.
Ding, ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
It's the NBA Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Jared Weiss. He's playoff mode to keel. We got Andrew Slick producing this one. Three games, three fun storylines. Let's start with the Memphis Grizzlies at home, making a huge comeback in the fourth quarter to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 111-109 on a Ja Morant game winner to take the series lead.
Jared, this was one of the worst playoff games I've seen played in a while. I mean, the Timberwolves had 23 turnovers. The Grizzlies had 16 turnovers. And it was also one of the more fun playoff games I've seen in a while. It was just super exciting. Everything you were watching. A lot of head-scratching plays, especially down the stretch from Minnesota. A couple of bad shots and things like that. And then you just saw the Grizzlies kind of continue to go. And eventually it's off of another offensive rebound. They had 18 in this game. And Ja Morant knocks down a three to take the lead. It was wild.
This game, it was almost like they were playing turnovers with baskets in between, especially Minnesota. The Wolves were playing like there were banana peels all over the court. Like, just guys were just slipping over and over again. Like, what the hell is going on?
I have no idea. It was super weird. That's such a great way to put it. Like, if we had four consecutive plays where there wasn't a turnover, I would be shocked. Like, it was just kind of ridiculous. At one point, I thought the Wolves were going to have 30 turnovers in this game. They were heading that way very quickly.
I think there was a point where there were like three turnovers in a row. I remember
more than once.
I just know that I was boarding a flight from New York to Boston as this was happening. I see three turnovers in a row and then lose service. And that was the last taste in my mouth of this game until I landed just in time to watch the very end. But I did get to catch up eventually on what happened. And what happened was just a furious run by Ja Morant, who just put his imprint all over crunch time.
I mean, crunch time the entire fourth quarter, 18 points in the fourth quarter, went to the free throw line 10 times, shot terribly, by the way, from the free throw line the whole game, went 9 of 10 in the fourth quarter alone. And then we have to start looking at, when you start looking at it, you got to start going through the whole scenario. Ja Morant hits a three. Minnesota hits a monster three in the corner from Anthony Edwards off a great pass from Jordan McLaughlin to tie the game. And then on the other end of the court, coming out of the timeout, Anthony Edwards gambles for a steal on Ja Morant. Ja Morant gets into the lane for a floater and wins the game. It was just unbelievable.
It wasn't even a floater. It was like a spinning, reaching finger roll. I guess that's like an average layup for Ja Morant, but that was an unbelievable layup. But so it was Anthony Edwards. Was he like top locking Ja Morant and then went for the steal, or did he just get left in the dust and felt like he was out of the play and that's why he went behind for the steal? Because it seemed like, even though he got left initially, he could have just undercut Ja and stayed in front of him. It's like you want Ja Morant taking the deeper shot.
I mean, it was a basic like pick the picker action. So on the down screen part where it was happening, it looked like Edwards jumped into lock and trail. So he starts chasing behind Ja Morant. And you're right. He had an opportunity to just jump in front, which is, by the way, exactly what you're supposed to do. Keep the ball in front of you with 3 seconds left in this game. Instead, he still continues to chase from behind and gambles for the steal, which when Ja catches it, Edwards is out of position now, and Ja just sees space for him to go. And when he sees space, and you can ask his teammate, Mikhail Bleasley, Malik Beasley. Gonna have to edit that one out. He could ask his teammate Mikal Beasley that how that works out when Ja has space, because he got dunked on massively in the third quarter. He was able to get down in the lane, and you were right. It wasn't a floater, but it was one of those kind of like extendo, like to the side layups from Ja that was just, I mean, it was gorgeous.
Andrew, please don't edit out that first mistake by Mo, because then he screwed up and sent Mikal Beasley at the end the second time. So we're definitely going to keep that in there.
Oh,
but you know what?
Talking today,
this is very on brand for this episode, because the Minnesota Timberwolves made mistake after mistake. So the Minnesota Timberwolves, I can't figure out a way to put that.
Oh,
one, but,
you bastard.
Okay, Anthony Edwards, very clutch shot in the quarter. That was an extremely difficult one. Karl Anthony Towns, 28 points, 7 for 15 shooting, 9 for 9 from the free throw line, and 7 turnovers. He was the biggest culprit of the turnover brigade. This has been a very up and down playoffs for Cat. Heading into elimination game, what do you think we're getting out of Cat?
I'm very nervous about it, because there's no way to predict it in terms of him being able to control his emotions and make smart decisions. Some of the shots he took down the stretch, Jared, were really bad. You know, he's pulling up for like a 30-footer three with like 18 seconds left on the shot clock when they're bringing the ball up the court, and bricks it terribly. Taking a one-legged Dirk fadeaway off of after an offensive rebound and blowing that one against Dylan Brooks. Like, you know, it's just bad shot after bad shot. Some of the decisions he makes, I just really question. And so, like, when you're saying, what are we going to get in game six? I have no idea if we're going to get the 33 and 13, you know, what he gave in game four, if we're going to get this in game five, or even worse.
Let's head to the other tied up game five. Phoenix Suns, New Orleans Pelicans, 112-97 Phoenix Suns. Yeah. This one was not happening. Although New Orleans did have a very fun fourth quarter. Jose Alvarado forcing multiple backcourt violations again on Chris Paul. I've never seen this before. Have you ever seen this before?
No, it's no. Weird.
Out of character. Jose Alvarado, he pushes everybody out of character. But it was fine, because Mikal Bridges is the Devin Booker of Phoenix Suns wings. He had 31 points on 12 for 17 shooting, 4 for 4 from deep. He was and 4 blocks, by the way. He was absolutely unbelievable.
I mean, Mikal Bridges just completely took over in the second half. I don't think there's anything else to say. 13 points in the fourth quarter, 10 in the third. I mean, he was just sort of all over the place and really going to work. 11 in the third quarter, but he was just going to work everywhere he went in the second half, making sure they weren't going to win this game. And CP coming through, even despite those turnovers, you know, still making plays, assists, dropping dimes, doing what Chris does. I think it was a pretty well-rounded performance. But did you catch the most interesting part was when Phoenix went with their double bigs and played DeAndre Ayton and JaVale McGee at the same time?
A dream come true. I've been waiting my whole life to see it.
And how do you feel?
I think we're not going to do double big in Phoenix any longer.
I thought it was pretty good, though. I think they had to match a little bit with the size and, more importantly, the physicality. And that was the big thing for me with Phoenix in this game, was they came in here with physicality. Granted, it nearly cost them. I feel like everybody got in foul trouble that game and really had to be careful. Like, Crowder picks up his fifth foul in the third quarter. Like, you had to be really careful with how they were playing. But I think their physicality was a big thing for them, and that was the important thing that was missing in game four.
Yeah, and Jonas Valanciunas, give him credit. He was a beast on the block. He had some important baskets in the fourth quarter, just posting up there and just trying to give them something when they weren't really finding anything on Phoenix's defense. It seems like New Orleans probably has to lean into bully ball even more in game six if they want to keep this alive.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, though. I think we're going to start to see a little bit of like the youngness start to shine here a little bit more on some of these guys. Maybe I'm underestimating them, but I think it's one of those things where, look, Brandon Ingram's is shooting incredible from three, you know, well above what he normally does in this series, shooting about 50% from three. Tonight, 1 for 5, 7 of 22, or 7 from 19 from the field. CJ McCollum, 7 of 22, 1 of 8 from three. Like, I think those are the things that they got to start kind of get going here.
It's truly a remarkable stat. The New Orleans Pelicans shot 5 for 25, 20% from the three-point line. CJ McCollum won 1 for 8, Brandon Ingram 1 for 5. The only player that made multiple threes of all people was Jose Alvarado.
What can that kid not do?
Hopefully we'll see. Hopefully winning game 6 will not be on that list, because I definitely want to see the series go 7. Phoenix Suns, without Devin Booker, they find a way. I mean, sure, Devin Booker is probably going to come back at some point in this playoff run if they are able to get by New Orleans. Do they need to have Devin Booker at 100% to, let's say, get to the finals? Let's be a little cautious with this one. Get to the finals.
I think so. And I think part of it is, you know, when you're watching how well Golden State is playing right now, I think you kind of have to look at it going like, hey, if Booker's not right and not 100%, it's going to be very hard to go at them.
All right, we're saving the best for last here. We got elimination. Miami Heat beat the Atlanta Hawks 97-94. They hold off a late Hawks run. DeAndre Hunter had 35 points and 11 rebounds. Not the Atlanta Hawks player you would think I would leave with about offensive capability, but we're going to get to that in a minute, because we have to talk about Victor Oladipo stepping in the backcourt for the Miami Heat. They're all-stars. They're out. Jimmy Butler, knee inflammation. Kyle Lowry is out again. Who knows when they're coming back? Hopefully for the next Miami Heat game. But Miami, they should not have been able to win this game against Atlanta, who's basically healthy. And somehow they do what they always do, and they get someone to step up and pull it out. And this time it was Victor Oladipo with 23 points.
Yeah, it's funny when you say they shouldn't have been able to win this game, just going like, this is what Miami's done all year. This is what they're used to, having to scramble at the last second and get guys going and get them in the right spot. I think that's we laugh about Heat culture. I think that's Heat culture. Scramble at the last second and find a guy that can make something happen.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm going to just touch on it now. Their defense on Trae Young is really did it. Gabe Vincent, forget about, you know, his offensive numbers, the stuff he was doing defensively. PJ Tucker, phenomenal. Everybody just all over Trae. I mean, this has been a nightmare for him, going 0 for 5 from 3 tonight, 2 for 12 from the field. Like, I mean, yo, he's got a real taste of the playoffs, and this is a little bit of a tough defeat for him to have to sit on.
He front rimmed the first free throw at the line with a minute left. Like, Trae Young front rimming a free throw, you don't really ever see that. He was so short on it. You just could tell he was rattled. Like, Trae Young doesn't really get rattled, but he was rattled. And it made sense, because the Hawks couldn't even get a shot off at the very end. They literally, their season ended just kind of like the ball petering down the baseline, because Miami just swarmed them, and Miami's defense was absolutely epic in crunch time.
It was funny, because like, I'm watching this and, you know, they have the ball on the baseline out of bounds. They couldn't get it in the first time, call a timeout, set up a play again, get it inbounded to Gallinari in the corner, and PJ Tucker comes to trap with Max Strus, and that was it. As soon as that trap happened, it was, hey, this game's over. Your season's over. You guys are going fishing.
So, okay, Depot steps up. He made huge playmaking to Bam Adebayo at the end of this game. Bam Adebayo had a really great game. Is Depot in the rotation for Miami when they get to the second round?
I don't think so. It really does depend on Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry. You know, I think, you know, he really wasn't in the rotation for most of this series. You know, when they were healthy, there's not a lot of spots for him there. And I think as series tend to go off, as playoff runs begin to continue to go on, your rotations get shorter and shorter. So I think we'll start to see maybe if Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry are back, we might see very little of Oladipo. If one or both of those guys are out, well, they're going to need him, and we'll see a lot of him.
Well, whether it's Depot or Butler, we're going to be here anyway. He's Mo DeKeel. Andrew Schlecht is our producer. I'm Jared Weiss. That is it for another episode of the Athletic NBA Show Daily Ding.
Ding, ding.